We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a text here from our friend Mark Cabali, who's in Orlando. He says, walking in Orlando, easy for me to say. Why did I make that four syllables? Orlando. Damn big-ass black snake came out of the pill bushes. I had some good lateral movement then.
Oh, yeah.
Look, if Mark can outquick a big black snake, so can I. Mm. One more text from my mom. So proud of you taking apart that lawnmower.
I'm proud of you, too.
Thanks, guys. If I get my hands dirty on a carburetor, I sure as hell can choke out a snake.
Oh, my gosh.
Mike Tomlin, this audio courtesy of our friend Mark Cabali, who sat down, among others, with Mike Tomlin yesterday. Mike, tell us about the process of your quarterback procurement.
You know, I don't know that dramatic things happened from a perception standpoint. We had one quarterback on our roster. Last time we talked, we knew obviously we had to acquire some talent at the position. And so we just studied the field and levels of availability among some of the candidates in the field. We got zeroed in on Russell and Justin among them. Obviously probably the goal was to, you know, get one guy initially, but through conversation and work, and can't give Omar enough credit, you know, we were able to acquire both guys.
Sounds like they're outside of a pool. Maybe an indoor pool there. Signs up, kids, don't run. That's what it sounded like to me. But Mike Tomlin talking about the quarterback process, and here's what that sounded like to me, Doran. I think they wanted either Russ or Justin Fields, whichever guy they thought would be easier to get. And I think they wanted Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph to be here. I think one of those guys they wanted to add to the roster to add competition, but I do think their grand plan overall was for Mason to want to sign back here and for Kenny Pickett to never ask out. That's how those comments landed on me.
Yeah, I think that they wanted you know, every scenario that they could possibly dream up, really, at the end of the day, with having three quarterbacks. And, you know, bringing this up again, how Omar was speaking at the combine when he was speaking to the media, we carry three quarterbacks and we only have one right now. So we're going to get three guys and we're going to have three moving forward. So Russell Wilson being that guy initially, and then the whole Kenny Pickett fiasco, not fiasco, but him asking to be traded and move on and have a different scenario, that lended them to really zero in on Justin Fields. And it's kind of a win-win, I think, in all situations. I know that they definitely wanted Mason to come back. Mason didn't want to come back. I think we knew that at the end of the year. Why would he want to come back? Kenny Pickett wanted to leave, and they got the pick of their litter. And he gave Omar a lot of credit, and they got their quarterbacks for 2024 at a cheap price. You know, it's a really good situation. Now let's see if it could pan out on the field.
So I have been giving, to your point, Omar Khan a ton of credit for coming into this offseason and having a plan. Let's get Russell Wilson. He's going to be our starter. Let's get Justin Fields. I'm not going to give him credit for that anymore. I'm going to give him credit differently. He was light on his feet. The initial plan doesn't sound like it was good enough for me. If the initial plan was Mason, Kenny, and either Justin Fields or Russ Wilson, that's not good enough for me. Like, I think that is still a quarterback room where you're asking for a whole lot of trouble if it's Russ Wilson, if it's Mason Rudolph, if it's Kenny Pickett. You got three guys that desperately want to be starter, and each of them would have thought that they staked that claim. Russ, because he's won a Super Bowl. Mason Rudolph, because he dragged the Steelers kicking and screaming into the playoffs last year. And Kenny Pickett, because he was a first-round pick 2 years ago. If that was their solution, if that was their plan from the outset, it's a terribly flawed plan. But that Mason did not sign here and Kenny went out, that they had a backup plan in Justin Fields, that was being quick on your feet, and I will give them credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the situation, right? I mean, they were like, if this doesn't work, our grand plan doesn't work, how can we move forward? And we're moving forward with the two quarterbacks we had last year, Kenny Pickett, the guy that we think that can be our future at the time, and we're hoping to get Mason Rudolph back, a guy that really brought us back to life at the end of the year. But we have a grand plan of, okay, if Russell Wilson is available, if Justin Fields is available at our price, then we'll make moves. I mean, I think we've kind of been made aware that the Steelers will change, what they say. And they said a bunch of things at the end of the year. Mike Tomlin said a bunch of things, and it has changed. And that's how the NFL works. But we never really saw it with the Steelers in the past. And this year it has showed us, well, in this offseason it has showed us, that they're willing to change as the days go on. And I think that their initial plan was Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph. But, you know, we do have a grand plan. If we draw it out, this is what it could look like. But if it doesn't, we're going to stick with our original plan, which is Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett, but things changed.
Yeah, that's fair, and I've used the phrase now a couple of times, light on their feet. I think the ability to adapt is something that maybe they didn't do before. They've had feet of steel.
Yeah.
Like, they have not been able to kind of go with the punches and make moves on the fly, and it's why they said all along, we believe in Kenny, we believe in Kenny, we believe in Kenny, because they never knew what it would look like. You're right. They might have thought, Doran, in a perfect world, we get Russell Wilson.
Right.
But we can't count on that because he has to make a decision, and maybe he does not want to be here. We've got a snake expert on the line.
Do we really?
A self-proclaimed snake expert. We're going to get to that guy in a second here at 412-928-9370. Why not? But first, Mike Tomlin talked about Kenny Pickett's departure.
You know, I just think it was, you know, from his perspective, he felt like a change of scenery would be a good thing. Obviously, when we felt the trajectory of the business with Chicago moving in the right direction, those dominoes started falling. I won't get into specifics about our conversations, but I am appreciative of his efforts during his time in Pittsburgh, and I wish him nothing but the absolute best in Philadelphia.
How about that, Mike Tomlin? I thought kind of revealed something there, Doran. That, okay, Kenny wanted out. He wanted the change of scenery. We knew that, but he more or less confirmed that there. It also sounds like to me, Doran, that if they didn't have something in the works for Justin Fields, Kenny Pickett would still be here. Like, he said we were waiting for those dominoes to start falling. If Kenny wanted out and they could not make a deal for Fields with Chicago, I wonder if they would have still held on to Kenny Pickett, even though he did want out.
Probably would have had to, right?
Yeah.
Would have had to because, I mean, you're still only two quarterbacks on your roster.
I guess you could have traded him and signed Ryan Tannehill, but now you got two guys combined age of 70 years old. I don't know if that's something
right.
You want to do.
Right? Yeah.
And Josh Dobbs was out there. I guess you could have maybe made something happen there if you want to go back to the future, but it really sounded like, from Mike Tomlin's lips right there, the domino that needed to fall was we had to work something out with Chicago. And they, of course, in the order of things, did trade Kenny before they traded for Fields, but you have to figure they'd have a framework in place.
Do you think that they anticipated Kenny asking for a trade? Like, whenever, let's go to the day that they signed Russell Wilson, do you think that they were already getting their things aligned and together that, okay, this is the direction we need to focus on because Kenny might ask for a trade? Do you think that they anticipated that at all?
That's a great question. I think, okay, so we know something happened in Seattle last year. So they probably couldn't have ruled out that Kenny Pickett would ask for a trade. However, they've been talking about competition all offseason long, from Mike Tomlin's first press conference in January all the way up through before Fields was traded for. They have been talking about competition. So they probably were leaning towards, no, he would not ask for a trade. But once he does, you're not doing it unless you get Justin Fields in the fold. It's fascinating to me how quickly things must have changed for them.
I just feel like that they can't just, it can't be a quick turnaround like that quick. Like that has to be a premeditated move. And you're premeditating, okay, like Kenny's going to ask for this trade, so we need to be on the phone with Chicago earlier before and anticipating him asking for a trade. Like when Kenny Pickett asked for a trade, they couldn't just call the Chicago and be like, okay, what's the deal now?
I think they were trying to make a deal for Fields early in the offseason. The asking price was too high.
Yes.
And then they probably continued to negotiate. They signed Russell Wilson. Maybe those negotiations fizzle, but hey, keep us in mind. And then as the price falls, all right, where are you now? Hey, guys, Justin still wants to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Are you guys interested? Oh, interesting you asked that question because Kenny Pickett's now demanding a trade.
Yes.
I think that's probably how it went down. Mike Tomlin talked about the offensive identity. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. He's talked about quarterback pecking order, which we'll talk about next. But we have to chase the shiny object. We've got Mike in Shaler who says he's a snake expert who wants to jump on the pre-show conversation.
I'm on a raid, yeah.
All right, Mike, first of all, I love that. Mike, all right, give us the bona fides real quick. You say you're a snake expert. You got to prove it for us.
Okay, you start asking the questions. I got the answers.
All right, so you say you're a snake expert. How? How?
Right.
Do you work in the field? Do you own snakes?
I've been working and breeding with snakes for over 40 years.
Wow.
I'm by trade a professional chef, but I do this as a hobby.
Do you have snakes at your house, Mike?
I do. I have 30 snakes in my house right now.
Are any of them illegal, Mike? Nobody knows your last name.
No, they're not illegal, no.
Okay, what's the biggest snake you have?
I have a 9-foot boa constrictor, albino sunglow boa.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you have any poisonous snakes, Mike?
Not poisonous, venomous. Venomous is the correct word.
What's the difference between poisonous and venomous?
Well, venomous means the snake injects with its fangs. You know, poison is something you ingest.
Mm.
So a venomous, you know what I'm saying? That's the difference.
All right, Mike, let's get to the actual. Can Adam Crowley outrun a king cobra?
Probably not.
No!
But they're not going to chase after you. That's a misconception. Snakes don't want to bother with people. They do not want to deal with people. They just want to live their lives. If you see them around your house, they're hunting vermin. They're hunting rats, mice. So they're actually good to have around. But I do reptile removal too. So if you happen to run across a snake you don't want it in your yard, I come and take it and relocate it. I mean,
thank you,
free
Mike.
Of charge.
Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Mike. So you can't outrun a snake.
I mean, you shouldn't be afraid of them. You should just respect them and let them do their thing. You know what I mean?
All right, buddy. Take care.
Until they bite you.
A 9-foot albino snake? No, thank you.
30 snakes.
I should have asked him if he's married.
30 snakes? Think about having 30 snakes in your house.
Imagine going speed dating. Like, so what are you into? What are your hobbies? Well, I like watching Pirates baseball. I like to keep score at the games. What about you? Oh, I got 30 snakes at home.
30 snakes.
Okay, well, if we're going to hook up, we better do it at your place.
Yeah.
All right, been a weird start to the show, but we're here for it.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Mike Tomlin talked about the quarterback pecking order. He was asked about Justin Fields and took it in a completely different direction. I think that's important. You'll hear it coming up next. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Armstrong Comfort with Matt Mertz Plumbing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Tomlin spoke at the owners' meeting yesterday. Meetings or meeting? I've heard
owners,
it both ways.
Owners' meetings.
So they're going to have multiple meetings, these owners? Okay.
Yeah.
So Mark Cavalli kind enough to send the audio of his sit-down, their sit-down with Mike Tomlin. He talked about the quarterback pecking order. We'll get to that in a moment. But in the pre-show, we were talking about snakes, and we were talking about what a man I am, Doran Dickerson, because I took my lawnmower apart, messed with the carburetor, and put that thing back together. So we had a snake expert call in the last segment, some dude from Shaler who owns 30 snakes who scares the hell out of me. And now we got Frank from the South Side who says he's a lawnmower expert. What's up, Frank?
What's up?
What you got for us?
You said that you stored your lawnmower. That's the first time you used it since last season, correct?
That's right.
All right. So you want to try storing your lawnmower with no gas in it, because the ethanol and the gas from sitting is what gums up your carburetor. So at the end of the season, try running it completely empty. And that way there's no gas sitting in there. Or you could use non-ethanol gas.
Well, that's too fancy for me, Frank.
Frank, can you do us a favor? Can you do us a favor? Can you please call us back at around maybe Halloween time and remind us to do that?
Right.
Because we'll forget.
Yeah.
All right, Frank. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Frank.
Yeah, it's what my dad told me to do, too.
I'm going to forget. We're going to forget.
Well, of course we're going to forget.
Yes.
We do it every year.
Every year.
My dad goes, you know what you should have done? Well, okay, I didn't do it.
Right.
Don't tell me what I should have done. I didn't do it. How do I then go from point A to point B? Point A being my doggone mower won't start, to point B, I need to have a pristine lawn. How do I get from point A to point B? Well, now I have the answers. And here's the thing. If I hear a radio show say, we don't know how to start our lawnmower, I'm calling in as the expert. Because I could take that bad boy apart, put it back together, and get that bad boy running again.
Not going to lie, man. I am impressed. I'm impressed that you took the time to do it, that you had the patience to do that, actually, more than anything.
Well, my wife asked me if I quit, and that's all I needed to do to not quit.
Oh, she pushed you.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
she said, did you quit? And I had actually quit at that point, and she asked that, and I figured, okay. She's given me basically permission now to get this done the rest of the day. And I'm going to do it.
See, that's why, like, that's a fantastic relationship right there. She knew what could make you tick.
Oh, she nagged.
She could make you tick.
I don't think she thought that I would follow through. I think she was just ticked that I stopped. And then I ripped my pinky, my pointer fingernail in half.
You're going to be all right.
And it keeps getting stuck on my pocket. This thing's going to rip off in the middle of a show, and I'm going to be inconsolable. It's going to be terrible. All right. Steelers quarterback room now, not terrible, right? Mike Tomlin asked yesterday at the NFL owners' meetings about Justin Fields. How are you going to use Justin Fields, Tomlin?
We've been very transparent about the pecking order, at least to start. I just think that provides clarity for all parties involved. Russell is a veteran, man. He's got a proven process of readiness. He's been in this league a long time. He's capable of rallying troops, receivers, tight ends, running backs, etc. He's just got a lot of experience in terms of what it takes to be the guy over the course of a 12-month calendar, and I just think that that's something that a younger guy like Justin could learn from. It provides clarity for all parties involved as they do some of the informal things that collectors do this time of year, whether it's, you know, coming together to work out and destinations and things of that nature. Rest assured, when it's time to compete, Justin will be given an opportunity to compete, and we'll allow those guys to sort themselves out. But I thought it was appropriate to describe it in the way that I described it in terms of how we get started. Russell's in pole position. I think his body of work, justifies that. And just from my conversations with Justin, I know he is excited about working alongside Russell, man, and maybe learning some of those veteran tricks of the trade and things that he's picked up from being in this league for over a decade.
Hey, Tomlin, how are you going to use Justin Fields? And he talks for a minute and a half about Russell Wilson.
Yes.
That paints a pretty clear picture, I think, Doran.
Uh-huh.
He's in pole position, but it really sounds like Mike Tomlin loves the cut of that guy's jib.
He does.
And that doesn't mean he does not like Justin Fields, but we talked about that last week when all the national media members were talking about Russell Wilson getting benched for Justin Fields. I kind of laid out the reasons why Mike Tomlin wouldn't want to go with Fields, because he's turnover prone. He's not super accurate with the football. Mike Tomlin doesn't like quarterbacks who make mistakes. And while Russell Wilson takes a lot of sacks and does fumble the football, he's not going to throw it to the other team. And you just heard Mike Tomlin there wax poetic about the guy. There is zero chance that Russell Wilson, if all things are equal with health, is not the starting quarterback week number one.
Well, they don't have any time to waste. I think that that's a part of the message. You know, even though that Mike Tomlin was beating around the bush and kind of just, you know, directed in on Russell Wilson, that told me that it's like, we don't have time to waste. Like, we love Justin Fields. We love that what he could bring to his intangibles, and we've seen him play a lot, and we obviously did our due diligence on what we expect out of the guy eventually. But right now, we talk about urgency. That message was passed down to me from the top dog and Art the Second. And if we're trying to be urgent, we don't have time to waste of figuring out if Justin Fields can be a part of this starting rotation, I guess, of quarterbacks. No, Russell Wilson's our starting guy. Justin Fields will have an opportunity at some point, but it's not going to be initially. We don't have time to waste. We need to go with the sure hand, and the sure hand is Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the case.
And it's for everybody's benefit.
Yes.
You know, you had defensive players who were campaigning to get Russell Wilson in here. So you're satisfying your locker room's leadership. He's a guy that's won a championship who had good statistics last season. And if he were in a better spot, they'd probably make the playoffs with those kind of statistics. And Justin Fields can learn from this guy.
Yes.
It's why I think here in the not-so-distant future, you're going to see Justin Fields sign a team-friendly contract. Because I do think they think he can be the answer down the line. But they want to win right now. And Mike Tomlin made it pretty doggone clear there. Why do I keep saying doggone?
Because you want to swear.
I do want to swear. I'm doing a self-scout. If I use the word doggone again in the rest of the show, Callis, I give you full permission to use your favorite buzzer sound. I can't be saying doggone over and over again. I don't know what's happening here. I think it's because I want to swear.
It is.
And it doesn't happen on Fridays. It happens on Mondays because I swore all weekend long. Now I got to get back in the swing of the radio thing here. All right, coming up next, Mike Tomlin talked about this offseason and how it's been different than years past. He also talked about the offensive identity now with Russell Wilson at quarterback and Arthur Smith calling the plays. Doran, I see Shohei Ohtani is supposed to address the media today and talk about all the goings on there.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, who's going to be the interpreter?
That is a great question.
Right?
That's a great question.
We need a new guy. It can't be the old guy. Man, him and Mulkey are going to be battling today to see who's on the front page. Because Mulkey came out prior to their first round game, the LSU women's basketball coach, saying, it's a witch hunt. They're coming after me. Hasn't given me enough time to respond. Blah, 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 blah. I think she doth protest too much. And I do think that the same is going on here for Shohei Ohtani. We're going to get to Mike Tomlin, some of his comments from the owners' meetings in a second here, but I don't know if I'd be trotting Ohtani out in front of the media just yet.
But he's not going to have to really say anything because he's probably going to have somebody. He has to.
I would have an English/Japanese lawyer be my interpreter.
Yes.
And that way you answer the questions. And you know what I wouldn't do, actually? I probably wouldn't take questions if I were him. I'd have a statement, and that'd be that.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, just got to be careful here.
Right. Yeah, every word.
Yes.
Can just be taken out of context.
And then
on
as,
purpose.
Correct. And then as for Mulkey, she talked for 3.5 minutes in a prepared statement. It's going to be bad.
Did it ever come out what she did?
Not yet. Not yet. And this is why I say she doth protest too much.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you wait until the allegations are out and then deny, deny, deny? The funniest part of her press conference, Doran, to me at least, was when she said, this guy's been trying to contact me for 2 years. And then she said, and then he said on Tuesday he needs to talk before the game. Like,
that's
he hasn't given
time.
Me any time.
Right.
My man gave you 2 years. 2 years. I can't wait for that. I don't know. Are we able to get into the Washington Post without having to pay money? I wonder.
Good question.
That always drives me wild. There's a story you need to read. And it's like 99 cents. Give me your credit card information.
Yeah.
No!
Renewal. The automatic.
Right. And then it's
just dinged.
It's like that lawnmower thing, man. We had the lawnmower expert call us in the last segment and say, you got to empty your mower before the start of the next season. We're never going to remember to do that. What? I'm not going to remember to cancel my USA Today membership or my Washington Post membership. It'll never happen. All right, Mike Tomlin spoke at the owners' meetings yesterday. Mark Caboli, kind enough to send us the audio. He was asked about the different behavior from the Steelers this offseason, the way they're going about their free agent business.
I don't know that it's a specific sea change. I just think that each offseason, man, we're trying to do what we can to put the very best group out there, and probably going to be more active in some offseason than others, but I don't know that two makes a pattern.
He is so defensive about everything. Like, the question, it was basically framed as a good thing. Like, hey, you guys have really changed here. You've been light on your feet. You've been aggressive. You spent big money on Patrick Queen. Oh, I don't know if two off seasons makes a pattern. You're getting credit, man. Like, the Steelers are getting credit. Now, maybe he's defensive because they've always been about consistency,
right,
and doing things a certain way. And now, because they're doing things in a certain way, it kind of pulls under the microscope the things that they've done wrong over the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. It's like almost, and we talked about this last week, admitting that you are wrong and admitting that you needed change. So whenever somebody asks a question like that, oh, you guys are doing things differently. Well, we're not really doing things differently. It's just a different scenario that we're put in. So that just allows us to do things and move different parts. But if I would have sit and said, yeah, you know, things are changing, like, that's admitting that things were bad before. He's not going to ever admit that things were bad. He's always going to say that, all right, we have it under control. We just need a couple other layers to look at.
The way I would kind of position it if I were him then, Doran, is we've had a franchise quarterback the entire time I've been here. Now we don't. We didn't last offseason. We thought maybe Kenny could be that guy. And so when you've got money to spend, when you don't have so much tied up into one guy, you are going to operate differently. That's what I would have said if I were him. Now, I don't think it all boils down to that, because the Chase Claypool trade, that to me isn't something that would have been prohibited because of having a franchise quarterback, and that's something that I don't believe Kevin Colbert would have done. But if I were him, that's how I would have framed it. Like, of course we've been different. We don't have a franchise quarterback. We're paying $40 million.
I mean, but that's still admitting that they didn't hit on the right scenario whenever that franchise quarterback was gone. But, I mean, I think it's okay at this point to say that, like, yeah, we are changing.
Maybe, like, he doesn't think that things needed to change.
I was thinking that as well.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he thinks, hey, the way we had been doing business has been the right way of doing business. In these 2 years, it doesn't make a pattern because he doesn't like the pattern. Maybe I'm pulling too much at that, but could be that. He has the team in contention every year. He has never had a losing season. He probably doesn't think anything was wrong, which is, it's kind of a breath of fresh air then that Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, the powers that be now understand. If you're going to shake things up, if you're going to try to get different results here, you got to do different things. And maybe we should all look at that as a positive, and he should embrace it too. Man, if you don't jump on this moving train, man, you're going to get left behind.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the offensive identity. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the program. But coming up next, Doran Dickerson, an exciting weekend of basketball locally and nationally. Why are some Pitt fans beating their chests? Owners meetings going on right now in Orlando. Rule changes could be on the horizon for the NFL. Mike Tomlin spoke to some Pittsburgh media members yesterday. We've been playing those clips for you and reacting to them. We're going to continue to do that all morning. In 14 minutes, Mike Tomlin talked about the center market versus the wide receiver market. I thought it was fascinating, so we'll get that to you in a moment. Pitt fans are very loud right now on social media. We'll tell you why. But first, Mike Tomlin was asked about the offensive identity with Arthur Smith now calling the plays.
Yeah, stay tuned. You know, it doesn't benefit me to drop stakes down, man, and be very black and white about our intentions as we sit here. But rest assured, we have a definitive plan. We've acquired coaching and playing talent to make that plan reality, and we can't wait to get started with the process.
So DeFabo asked the question, like, you want to tell us a little bit about your offensive identity? And Mike Tomlin, with a weird start.
Yeah.
We know what the offense is going to look like. We knew it the second he hired Arthur Smith. We have tape. We saw him in Tennessee. We saw him in Atlanta. He wants to run the ball. He wants big guys on the field. He wants to mash people. He wants there to be play action, and he wants to attack the middle of the field. You know, Mike Tomlin doesn't need to tell us. I say a lot this time of year. You know, coaches, executives are going to lie. You're going to read a lot of the smokescreen stuff coming out about the draft. It's lying season. But you can't lie in your personnel moves, and you can't lie in your coaching staff. That'll tell the truth. Like when the Steelers got Joey Porter Jr. last year and then Corey Trice, the cornerback from Purdue, that told us no matter what they say, they want to play more press man. They're looking for longer guys. When you hire Arthur Smith, you're looking to run the ball and play defense. I don't think it takes a genius to figure that out.
Right.
And I think they're in a position, Doran, where they can do it well. Like they wanted to be that team with Matt Canada, but they were doing it with a two-bit offensive coordinator. You might have hired the best possible offensive coordinator to meld with the philosophy that you had with Matt Canada, I think. It's why I've liked the hire since day one.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to fall in line. And I think that the next component, what they're looking for, was, okay, like we want to look at the big picture, and can we upgrade at the quarterback position? That's going to take some dominoes to fall. That's going to take some negotiation. That's going to take some time. But if we don't have the big picture fall into place, we're going to ride with Kenny Pickett, and hopefully Mason Rudolph will entice him to come back. And we feel that we can be decent with the offensive coordinator and Arthur Smith and running that offense with those guys. But can we be our best version of ourselves with those guys? That's why there was a big plan in place that if it fell the right way, that they would be happy that that would be the direction they went in. And the plan did fall in place. So if there's a quarterback out there that could fit Arthur Smith's system, other than Ryan Tannehill, it probably is Russell Wilson. You know, it probably is Russell Wilson. I mean, play action, let's run the ball, let's not have him have to win us games, but we do feel comfortable with him winning us games. Like, he's going to have to win some games, and I think that we can all agree, you know, some people may not agree, but I think we can agree that he gives them a better chance of winning football games, putting the team on his back than Kenny Pickett does.
Oh, and there's no question about that. Right. And here's the other thing, too. You weren't going to find, because this guy doesn't exist, a quarterback on the market this offseason that you feel good going into Arrowhead and playing toe-for-toe with Patrick Mahomes. Those guys don't exist. Joe Burrow has done it. Josh Allen did it, albeit fell 13 seconds short. But there's a couple of guys on this planet that, if things go right, could do that. You weren't going to acquire one this offseason. So last offseason, one of the big discussion points from us was the Steelers are zigging when everyone else is zagging, but they were doing it with their hands tied behind their back. They were doing it with a second-year quarterback and an offensive coordinator that should never have been an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Now it's run the ball, play defense, and you've got a guy that got to the AFC Championship as an offensive coordinator doing that, and you've got a quarterback that has won a Super Bowl. You're not going into Arrowhead and throwing it 50 times and winning that game. But can you get the best possible quarterback who can throw it 35 times to win that game if you've built a good enough roster around that guy? They're hoping that the answer is yes. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right, switching gears. First of all, Pittsburgh, give yourself a round of applause. You showed up, you showed out for the NCAA tournament games here in town. That place was bonkers.
Yes.
The atmosphere for NC State and Oakland was as good of an atmosphere as you saw countrywide for the NCAA tournament. Part of that is the hungry nature of NC State fans that didn't believe they'd be in this position and now want to latch on. And then Oakland's not that far of a drive from Michigan. But kudos to you, Pittsburgh basketball fans. Now, can everyone shut the hell up about the ACC? I am so annoyed by the number of Pitt fans out there that are pounding their chests about the success of the ACC in this tournament. I get it to an extent. The Joe Lunardis, the Mike DeCourcy's of the world all said at one point that only two ACC teams were going to make the tournament because this conference ain't that good. And now you've got a quarter of the field in the Sweet 16 that is an ACC team. But the number of Pitt fans that are seemingly rooting for Duke, that are seemingly rooting for North Carolina, you know, with every team that advances from that conference, it doesn't bring Pitt back to life. They're still not in the tournament, and their successes this year don't mean that they're going to be more ACC teams in the tournament next year. Like, anything that's happening right now does not affect Pitt, and I don't think enough people realize that, Doran.
See, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm personally okay with people wanting the ACC to win games and to have the staple of how many ACC teams are still playing, because the talk was the ACC was down. It was a mediocre conference. Well, it's shown that it wasn't a mediocre conference. So I'm okay with that discussion. Like, okay, look how many ACC teams are in. This conference was actually the better conference in this tournament. But for the Pitt fans, I tweeted this last night. I'm like, I think I'm personally over it. Like, they're not going to come back. They're not going to make the tournament. They didn't make the tournament. It's time to move on. Like, you can sit there and you can sulk and you can let this take over your body. And a lot of people are willing to do that because they're very upset, and rightfully so. You're right. You have a right to do what you want to do. But for me personally, like, I'm like, okay, like, let's think about next year, because there's no coming back. Nothing that you can do and how much you complain is not going to bring them back and plug them right into a Sweet 16. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, Doran, at least in my opinion, is it's not going to affect the way the conference is looked at by the powers that be next year.
Right.
Miami made the Final Four last year. And so a lot of the same talking points that you have ACC fans spouting right now are the same ones you had last year. Wow, Miami, that's a great team. That's a Final Four team. They deserved inclusion. This conference is great. It didn't gain the conference any respect for this year. And to all the people saying, look, the committee, they were getting it wrong. All the teams that are advancing, the committee put in. Like, the committee could easily, if the committee did a post NCAA tournament press conference, and they don't do that, but if they did, they could say this. Yeah, the ACC teams that were deserving, we put in, as evidenced by they advanced in the tournament. The ones that we didn't think would have advanced, we didn't put in. They put these teams in.
But I think that people are like, okay, well, you didn't put two teams in, and this is where Pitt does fall into this category. You didn't put Wake Forest or Pitt in, and they're teams that if they were to be in, they'd probably be in this far as well.
Maybe.
And that's where I think people's gripes are. It's like, okay, did you know that they would go this far and they'd make you look bad because there would be not four but six?
Well, here's the thing. If Virginia didn't make it, then it might have been Seton Hall. Or it might have been Rick Pitino's St. John's Club. Because don't look now, the Big East is 6-0 in the tournament. The Big East is kicking butt right now. And so if Virginia's left out, it could have easily been one of those Big East teams that was included instead. And based on tournament results, they have every right to claim exactly what the ACC is claiming right now. You should have given us more teams because, my gosh, this conference is good. UConn's coach came out yesterday and said, why isn't Seton Hall in here? Seton Hall beat us by 15, and look how good we are. So I think when the NCAA tournament starts going, if you want to find and leech onto a narrative, you can. You can, whatever narrative you had coming in, if you want to leech onto one, you can find one. Like, the Big 12 is 6-6. It's not like they've had a bad tournament. If you want to say the Big 12 is good, you can say that.
Yeah, but they talked up the Big 12 too much. And I think that that's where people are upset. Like, you talked them up. This is the premier league that we need to have as many teams as possible. And look what the ACC is doing compared to that. Like, I get the whole conference discussion. But narrowing down to, like, one team, which is Pitt, like, they're just not going to get in.
I don't look at this as any different than bowl season. Like, oh, the SEC sucked in the bowl games. That means the conference must not be good. Oh, the Big 12 isn't playing as well as the ACC. That means the ACC is by far the better conference. It's a single elimination tournament in a big sample size sport. We have taken a big sample size sport and we've made it, you win or you go home. And there's a lot of variance and there's a lot of variables. It's not an exact science. I think anybody trying to make anything out of the way a tournament goes probably spending too much time on trying to do such things. Sit back, enjoy, and hopefully you win some bets. IMO. Let's revisit this a little bit later on, because I got people all jacked up in my Twitter mentions right now. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin more or less admits that the Steelers have a couple of holes on their roster. How are they going to fix those holes? He talked yesterday at the NFL owners meetings. We'll let you hear from him when we come back. Right now, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.